All right, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians with me, and I'm going to just stop here for a minute, and we're going to do a little bit. Where'd you go? Okay, there you are. Come on up. You know, it occurred to me just a while back, let me get a little water here, that you give your resources to Harvest, and a lot of times when we do that, and I find myself fooled into this, we think we're paying for the lights and the heat and the toilet paper and those kind of things, you know. But it's far beyond that. And I realize we're not really communicating to you some of the changes that are happening. Like, for instance, you may not know this, but I had 21 students this year that learned their theology and Bible. 21. That's pretty kind of cool, isn't it? Yeah. And praise the Lord for them to do that. But the marvelous changes that happens in people's lives, I see it all the time, and so I'm thinking, man, is the Lord moving? And then I'll talk to somebody, and I realize they have no idea. So what I want to do is do a little interview with Anthony here. I'm just asking him a few questions because I want you to see the changes in people's lives, and we're going to be doing this from time to time. So that you can kind of understand that you investing your time and ministry and resources and everything else is paying off in the kingdom of God, okay? So, Anthony.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, yeah. I'm on my last sermon. Oh, by the way, I just want you to know, you looking around, you're thinking, boy, it's pretty sparse here. It looked like Easter first service.
Man, first service
it must
was
be going to be nice today.
It was packed.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, is the Broncos game? Wait, no, that's wrong.
All right, so how and why did you come to Harvest?
We started coming to Harvest. We moved to Brighton beginning of 2008, and we used to drive home to where we were from, home then, Wyoming. It's a small town about 2.5 hours away, and we used to pass this at least twice a month, probably more like 4 or 5 times just with other things. And Sarah, we'll get into this here in a second, but Sarah actually came to know the Lord almost 2 years before I did. And so she was actively looking, and so we finally stepped foot in the door 2008. So.
Okay, good, 2008. And when did you come to know Christ, you and Sarah?
I came to know Christ is my Savior. It was November 2009, right back over there in one of those seats right over there in the back there.
Okay.
During one of the salvation messages.
I noticed you said back.
Yeah. I was totally in the back. Never trying to get to the front and kind of in and out, man. I showed up at 9:30, probably 9:35 really, if I'm being honest. And then probably out by, you know, 10 as soon as it was first one out the door.
Yeah, okay. All right. What were the challenges in coming to church for you?
Well, I think before I knew the Lord, as I kind of sit there, Sarah was kind of leading that, you know, and I'm grateful for that. But it was like, what excuse wasn't there? Mm-hmm. Man, you name it. You know, I got to clean the truck. You know, I've got to organize a basement. And I didn't have a truck or a basement. I think it was just everything.
Yeah.
I really tried to.
Okay. So it's kind of hard getting to go more normal.
Totally. Yeah. And, you know, it was kind of new for me, too, right? Just because of my background. I went only a few times to church and as a youth. And
Easter and Christmas?
Pretty much. Someone told me. I think it was Bill. He's like, or no, so maybe it was, so you're a creaster. I was like, I've never thought of that before. I was like, totally a creaster.
Yeah.
Just those 2 times. And
okay.
But then I think once I came to the Lord, it was just making a priority, making sure that it was something that we made time for instead of found an excuse why not to come.
Because as I got to know you, things were really changing in your life. And you know, here's the question: what things happened? What was different in your life once you came to know Christ?
Yeah. I think a lot of things, but to try to keep it short, I think everything changed. But just
that makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's totally. You know, I was 29 years without knowing the Lord, and so I know many of you, and I know a lot of your stories. That were you've been in church and known the Lord at a young age, but for me, it was very impactful.
Okay.
Because even though I was fairly polished and tried to act like a good guy, I'm just so grateful that I can boast in His grace. and that he's helped me not only in my marriage, but as a father. And, you know, just to see his grace. And, you know, I was very guilt-ridden. I think it was one of the big things. I was very guilt-ridden under the law, and it's like, man, he sent his son to take all that. And so it's impacted every aspect of my life. And not without struggle, but man, it's impacted everything.
I have sure seen that impact. where have you served, and how has serving affected your relationship with God and your family?
So I've served in a handful of things. I'll tell you, I'm always encouraged by those who step right into, many of you who I know step right into this church and start serving. I'm just blown away by that. I was not that way. Again, Sarah kind of led that. I wanted to do the first thing with the least amount of commitment. So I thought, I started helping. Some of you may remember we had a little different setup back here in the children's ministry, and I helped check in kids. And 2 years later, I was still there, but it was wonderful, Amy. We got to do that together, and that was a really wonderful experience. And so then I've helped with the men's group as well.
Okay.
Very passionate about that, how much men have invested in me and changed my life, and most recently, the junior high, and as well as leadership.
Okay.
So,
all right, good. All right. So what would you recommend to the people here, all the way from somebody who just maybe trusted Christ last week to...
I would encourage you, men, especially, to plug in, and women as well, just to plug in. And what I mean by that is, last I heard, there was 44 ministries offered outside this room right now, 44 ministries. And a lot of them are intimate and some are larger, but what people have done, what you have done, what this church family has done and invested in my life is amazing. So I would say plug in, grab onto that. And I understand it may be hard to go. I want to share my struggle with that. It was not easy for me to go. Matter of fact, the first time I stepped into a men's group, I walked halfway to those doors, almost grabbed the handle, and I turned back around. I did not want to do that. I don't know why. I'd never been to a men's group before. I just didn't. There was something. Thank God I ended up turning back around and coming inside. And I've been going to men's group for like 6 years now or whatever, you know. But plug in. And then those of you who are members, I've seen the importance, and I've seen, you know, a lot of people who have loved us and invited us into their homes and invited us to do things. I mean, you guys looking around here, trying not to, like, so much of you are like family. So reach out to those who are newer, because it's impactful. I don't think we'll ever understand how much that means to a family. Good. So plug in.
Good. Thank you, Anthony.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, one of the things that's exciting is, as he was talking, his marriage was in trouble. He wasn't doing very well. And it just recently, for you who attended The Art of Marriage, he was one of the co-leaders. And that's something. Just amazing. So has this ministry helped him? Yeah. Has Jesus Christ reformed him? Yeah. What an exciting thing to see that in the kingdom of God, isn't it? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. All right, I want you to take your bulletin and open it up. Let's see, I got to find one that has it in here. And you have a little sheet that looks like this, okay? That is your sermon notes, okay? And as we go through the sermon, you can write in there whatever you would prefer. At the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to write down your application on the back of the bulletin, or you can do it on the sheet. Write down what is the thing that you feel like the Holy Spirit's taught you this morning, okay? And, you know, a while back, it was real early in the morning, 4 or 5 in the morning, and I woke up, and as I woke up, I was already audibly giving thanks to God. Now, that doesn't happen much, does it? And it had never happened to me, but it was like deep from my soul. I began to thank God, and I was doing this. And as I woke up, I heard myself saying, thank you, God, for who you are, and thank you for your provisions, and thank you for your work in my life, and thank you for your forgiveness. And I kind of laid there kind of shocked. I mean, it was cool. You know what I'm saying? It was really cool, but it really felt neat. And it was all about him. It wasn't about me. And Waking up with thanksgiving on our lips isn't exactly how life usually works. And in fact, for most of us, being thankful is not a natural response at all. And I'm including myself in that. And God desires and encourages us to be thankful in any given time. When we do praise Him, I think it aligns our mind into a godly perspective. In fact, I believe that worshiping Him and thanking Him gives us the heart of God. When you stop to think about it, because when you're thankful for Him, it's hard to be bitter, it's hard to be upset, anything like that. Do you know what I'm saying? So what I want to do is have us read the scriptures for today together. I'll read the white and you read the yellow. Give thanks to God always for you all. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Is that how you feel? We give thanks to God always for you all. We'll be on this for a couple weeks. So for a moment, I want you to think back in this last year, this half a year. How have you dealt with your circumstances? Have you been mad or angry or frustrated? Have you been thankful for even some of the hard things in your life because of what it teaches you? In the way that Paul was thankful, we know Paul just gives thanksgiving, thanksgiving, and I don't know of anybody that suffered more than he did. And so today I want to give us a lot of thoughts on having a thankful heart. And we read the scripture and it becomes clear that being thankful is not a small matter to God. In fact, the failure to be thankful is described in the Bible as working against us. Do you know that? Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. I want to talk about this now. Chapter 1, verse 21 is a scripture about the unsaved, and yet there are applications that we can make in that, okay? So I'm going to read this, and then I want to make the applications. Because although they knew or they remembered God, now this is talking about all people in any given time on the earth, okay? That he says we all know about God, and we know the scriptures that even tell us that. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify or worship him as God, nor were thankful. So what happens when they don't worship God and they're thankful? But became futile, fruitless, pointless, unsuccessful in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise. They became what? Fools. Wow. And haven't we seen that in people who steer off from God and do their own thing? And pretty soon they're talking to you and think, that's like foolish talk. And so I think the application here, and this is the application especially for me, because what happens is when I evaluate myself, I don't evaluate myself, am I following all the rules? Right? It's just not very, thank you God for grace. Okay? What I do analyze is, am I worshiping him and do I have a thankful heart? And if I am not worshiping him and I don't have a thankful heart, I'm a fool. And I'm in futility. And so are you, right? Isn't it the same thing? It's so easy to do that. Am I worshiping you, Lord? And am I thankful? So there's two things here, worship and thankfulness, and these two great attitudes end up destroying the worthlessness of life. And they build us up in Christ so we can serve him and we can be all that God wants us to be. So I've put five levels of thankfulness together so that'll help you. And that's in that little insert. So it'll help you kind of think, where am I? Because at the end of this message, I want you to be able to write down your application, and I want you to think, where am I? And please don't be disturbed on where you are at this point. There's always growth, amen? Okay. All right, and so let's start with number one, okay? It is complaining and disputing. Not much thanksgiving there, right? Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Now, I'm assuming that 80% of you have grown in Christ enough you don't do that anymore. All right? The other 20% just laughed. Okay. No. No, boy, that's so easy to get into that, isn't it? Just complaining that everything isn't good enough, people don't measure up, and maybe even bitterness exists because things haven't gone the way you want them to go. You know, Hal Urban, he's an author and teacher, wrote about an assignment that he gave to his students for 20 years. And he raised this question in class: how many times a day do you complain? And he asked his students to go 24 hours without complaint. Not hard, right? And of course, they complained about the assignment right away. All right. So the goal was to scribble down the complaint, if they had one, on a piece of paper, if it occurred. And so the following day, they brought back their assignments, and he asked the students, first of all, to guess how many made it all the way through the 24 hours without complaining. And so, of course, the answer was around, you know, it was 30 in the class probably, so 6 to 12 didn't complain, and the rest did. And he said, well, my estimation is going to be zero. And so he asked the whole class, and it was zero. Because we're all complainers, right? And these students are no different. And the best part of the experiment was the discussion that followed. He asked two simple questions. What was the purpose of the assignment, and what did they learn from it? And so their answer was, the purpose was to show us that we complain when we don't even know we're complaining, and the second one is how stupid complaints are. Because they got to look at their complaints and they're thinking, boy, is that stupid. And when they complain, when we complain, we're focused on the things that don't go right, and we act like in life we don't have choices, right? We're just victimized. We're victims of how this world treats us, and so let's complain. All right, let's go to level two, okay? We rarely thank God. That's the next level up. And turn with me to Luke 17, verse 13. They're the type of person who doesn't complain much, but still doesn't really have a strong attitude of thanksgiving. And they rarely, if ever, thank God for the things that they have. That's kind of convicting, isn't it? There's five levels, and we're only level two. And so let me just give you a background of this scripture. Jesus is walking through Galilee, and he sees 10 lepers. And it says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one, you see that one out of the nine? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet and gave him thanks. So that's a lesson for us, isn't it? When we fail to give, you know, even when we, have you ever prayed and then a long time later you go, oh, whoa, that prayer was answered. I didn't even notice it. That's level two, right? And we've all been on level two. Okay. So Jesus connects the two with worship and with thanksgiving. The other nine didn't complain that they were healed, but they also didn't thank Jesus. We get to level three, thanking God for the obvious. So we get more of a positive side of thanksgiving. For example, thanking God that the tornado didn't hit us or that we were protected, or maybe we got all the way through a trip and we prayed for travel mercies and we made it, or we got a pay raise, or maybe a birth of a child, or we got a gift and we thank God for that. So I want to go back to his classroom, and so he gave the kids a piece of paper with the just like I put up there with things, people, and other. And he asked them to fill those out They gave him a blank sheet and filled it out. And then four times before they came to class, like maybe breakfast, lunch, or it would have been dinner, going to bed, breakfast, and then just before they went to class, they were to review their different things that they were thankful for. And they came back to class. And their attitude was changed, completely changed. He even said about them, they have more and bigger smiles, eyes were open wider, and their bodies were more alive. So he concluded this and said, thankfulness does wonders for the soul. Level four. Could you change it for me? It's somehow, for some reason, it's not working. There we go. Thank you. Giving thanks for every situation. Listen to this. So we're in 1 Thessalonians now, and at 5:18 it says this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for who? You. Us. This is the will. In everything, give thanks. Now, you know, I always had a problem with this verse. You've known me long enough, I pretty much had a problem with every verse until I understood it. But I had a problem because how do you thank God that your child died? That doesn't make sense, does it? Or thank you, God, for I got laid off. Doesn't make sense, does it? Well, notice that it doesn't. He says, in everything give thanks, not for everything give thanks. Do you see the difference? He's not asking you to thank for the suffering and stuff. We find things to thank God in those sufferings. But we get through it because God is with us, teaching and leading and maturing us. Let's go to level five. Thank God for whom and what he is. Now, this is the level, man, I think this is, it was the very thing that when I woke up, I was praising God about it. It's praising God without asking him for stuff, right? Sounds easy, doesn't it? I would love for you this week to try, open maybe up to the Psalms or something to give you a new idea, and then just praise God for a few minutes and watch how quick you go to request. Or you go to telling them how to do it, right? So I woke that morning and I thought, wow, this is amazing. And, you know, I love this verse in Hebrews 13:15 that says this. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to his name. Now, I'm telling you, when you do that exercise without asking, without referring back to good old number one, and keeping him there, it's a life changer. A life changer. Thank you, God, for who you are, and praise you, God, for all that you've done. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for all those things you've blessed us with. And you continue on and on like that. And it's just, wow. So let me ask you a question. What level do you think you're at in your life? Are you at the bottom? If you are, complaining and murmuring and no thanksgiving, don't despair. You can grow. Amen. You can grow up. We're here to grow. We're not here to criticize or point a finger. We're here to grow in Christ and become mature. And if you're there, that's okay. Begin to look at this. You've got your little insert so you can take them home and put it on the refrigerator. See if you can get to those other levels. But boy, practice five. Just try it. Thanksgiving is a sweet sacrifice that we can give to God, very acceptable to him, the fruit of our lips, right? The fruit of our lips, giving him thanks. So I want you to take out that your bulletin or take out that slip if it isn't in your lap already. And there's enough of those to spread them out to everybody. I put two in a bulletin. So you'd be able to get that. I want you to write down your application. What is your application? Either on the back of the deal or on your page there. Write what is today's application for your heart. Might even been in the testimony that Anthony gave. Just give you a few seconds to do that. If you don't have a pen, just think about what that application is. I know for me it was get back to level five. Praise Him. Father, we come this morning thanking You. We love You, Lord. We thank You for what You've done for us. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and loved us so. And you know, Lord, last week we read that You love us as much as You love Jesus. And that blew us away. You are so great. And Your Son, Jesus Christ, I can't imagine being born and raised and knowing I'm going to die because I love those people so. So we give Jesus Christ our honor and our glory and our praise. Thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, for what You did for us. Father, we praise You, creating a world and then salvaging us when we thought we were unsalvageable. Praise You for that. While your heads are bowed, you may be here this morning and you don't know or you don't have a relationship with Christ. Let me talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But He goes on to say the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning, I'm going to say a little prayer, just kind of praying back what it says in Romans 10:9, and you understanding that you're going to invite Christ into your life, God into your life, the Holy Spirit into your life to change your life. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask You to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. I believe that You rose from the dead, just as that verse said, and because of it, You rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for You. I surrender my life to You. My heads are bowed if you prayed that prayer this morning in a minute. Let God know, and we want to pray for you. Just raise your hand up, put it back down. Let us know that you said that prayer this morning. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else this morning? Father, we thank You. We love You. We thank You for those two that invited Christ into their life. Lord, I just pray that we will be ready to answer their questions, help them, get to know them as they begin this journey with Christ in them, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name, amen.